One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Jesus, that tastes good. Is that the return of more lash? What, you're admitting that you got the taste slightly wrong the first time round, but now you've gone off and scoured the earth to find the greatest beer technicians in the world? You finally made this drink taste like a Rolex. Oh, aren't you? You beautiful genius. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get hold of the most premium drink in the world, go to morelashbrewery.com, put in the code RINKBIZ10, and get 10% off all the delicious beer. You're welcome.
This is the one. It's coming back for Johnny Wilkinson. He drops for World Cup glory.
La-lash, 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 la-lash.
Viens avec moi pour le rugby en France. Prends une bière et on suit dans la danse. Viens-tu de suite si ta seule chance. Bienvenue à la Coupe du Monde de rugby en France.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the global award-winning comedy sports podcast, The Rig Biz, live from Clapham. We are back in London safely, and I'm joined by the CEO himself, who looks incredibly hungover. Archie, you feeling all right?
Konnichiwa. Hello. Bonjour. Buongiorno. Oi.
What?
That's hello in five different languages.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a lovely way to start.
Quite an impressive start to the podcast. Yes, I am. I am still hungover. I mean, that's what happens when you... when you become very thirsty for 3 days in France.
It was basically a stag, wasn't it?
Yeah, it felt like a stag. I mean, I'm stag ready. Yeah. I mean, I was putting away the birrias like I didn't really care about calories.
No, you've been
I'm never like that. Never like that. But I guess I'm like that when it comes to World Cup because I just did not care.
Well, I think I even saw you have a slice of pizza.
It was bread, beer, and butter. You know, the three B's that you're not meant to touch. But look, when in France, put the chassis to the side and you say, I'm just going to have fun. And we had fun.
Are you missing anything from France?
I'm really missing walking out and seeing a load of middle-aged men who haven't looked after themselves wearing rugby shirts and knee braces. I really enjoyed that on a daily basis. I mean, Clapham, you get guys in rugby shirts, but they're in great nick.
Yeah,
But I'm looking forward to going back with Infinity Travel. If you use the code NORD10, you get 10% off your package.
Yeah, you've said that quite a few times in this podcast now, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I'm just talking about Infinity Travel. If you go to them and you want to join me for the quarterfinals on a cruise ship, you just type in NORD10 and you get
off.
10% off.
Yeah,
we
get
package.
It. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll be there for the quarterfinals with Infinity Travel.
Yeah,
and
no, we get
use the code NORS10. You get to myself. And
Archie, we get that. Let's move on. I mean, obviously, England started well. Everyone seems to have a wonderful weekend. The French are incredible. And guess what? We've got six more weeks of it.
I honestly cannot wait. I mean, the French know how to do ruggers.
They do.
Surely someone from the RFU is going to be taking some notes and thinking, right, this is what we've got to do.
Smoking in the stadiums.
Yeah, smoking in the stadiums is a must.
Yeah. Okay,
that is my tip of the week, actually.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's that time of the week again. It is time for Archie Curzon's Tip of the Week. Thank you very much.
If you're looking to recreate an atmosphere at a sports game, why not try smoking? It really does add to the je ne sais quoi.
Well, the two Langies weren't that happy when you lit up a cigarette in the stand, to be fair.
Yeah, that was the only time that I felt like someone didn't really enjoy the atmosphere I was creating when Ellis Genge's mum and two of Langie's brothers asked me to put my cigarette down. But I was just saying, look, it's the French way to create an atmosphere. They didn't like it. They asked me to leave.
Yeah, they did. They were absolutely appalled by you. Archie, let's move away from the French. Let's move away from England, even. And let's look at the guys who lost that opening game, the Kiwis. Because today, our guest on the podcast is a Kiwi legend, a man who's done it all. He kicked the winning penalty in the World Cup 2015.
They made a film about him.
They did, the kick.
One of my favourite films to
watch. Did
you watch it? Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, I've watched that at least 20 times.
Really?
Yeah.
It's quite a boring, it's like kind of quite...
Well, some people think it's poor acting and a terrible plot for a movie, but I don't. I absolutely love it. You know, when it comes to rugby movie, that is up there. I mean, everyone knows Living with the Lions is the best rugby content ever, but...
Better than Invictus or not?
Sorry?
Better than Invictus?
Oh, I mean, Invictus, again, an unbelievable movie. I mean, all rugby movies are great, but I mean, The Kick and Invictus are brilliant. I mean, brilliant acting. Yeah, Matt Damon as Francois Pienaar was, I mean, I now can't unsee Matt Damon as Francois Pienaar.
Right. Well, we are obviously going to be joined shortly by the Beaver himself, Stephen Donald, the legend of New Zealand rugby and world rugby, World Cup winner. But just before we get there, obviously you're still a bit homesick from France, and so we thought we'd do one last little section of Chasselinger.
Oh, Chasselinger,
Chasselinger.
Oh, teach me words that I don't know. Oh, Chasselinger,
Chasselinger.
Please teach me French so I can grow.
Everyone knows recently that I've got a new chat up line. So I'm going to tell everyone what it is in French, which is, hey, Chica, do you know the loo is?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, and it's actually handy because if you actually need the loo, and you're not chatting up someone, it's a good one to know because sometimes it's very difficult to know where the loo is around here.
Salut, Chica. Tu sais où sont les toilettes par ici?
Well, Archie, without further ado, let's bring on a great friend of yours, I imagine, or a friend-to-be, in Stephen Beaver Donald, New Zealand's number 10, better than Dan Carter.
I'm looking forward to this. Onside chat. SD, can you hear le chat?
Sensational chat.
Ugh. That is wonderful. Lovely hoodie as well.
Yeah, that's great. I personally love wearing a cap in the gym. That's one of my favorite. That's my must when I go to the gym. Yeah. Always have a cap. Yeah, yeah, because it just helps with the lifts.
Yeah. Oh, when you got a shit load, you just wear a cap all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I just have to.
I don't. I my lid is world famous. I've actually copyrighted it.
It's flourished.
Well, I should say to all the listeners...
Let's get into this, come
now
on.
Now that we are properly immersed in the World Cup is here, we thought who better to have on the show than a man who has kicked the winning points in a World Cup final. Now, sadly, Johnny Wilkinson was out of our price range, but we are delighted to bring the one, the only, Stephen Beaver Donald onto the podcast. You're joining us from New Zealand. The World Cup is here. How's it going, sir? You must be excited and just loving life.
Yeah, can't complain of life, and very excited. It's a shame you couldn't get Johnny. I would have loved to have listened to Johnny, but it is what it is. We're here. We're doing it.
No, we're joking. We have to prefer
no,
you.
We would prefer you, to be honest. I've heard Johnny Wilkinson speak. I've also heard Dan Carter speak, and they're a bit of a snooze fest, but we're really looking forward to getting involved with someone as loose as you, Stephen.
Well, we've heard that the Beaver is incredibly loose, and we're going to get into all those stories. Don't worry about that. But before we get there, and talking about loose, Archie, you and the Beaver mates? I mean, you share a great mate in Benders.
Yeah.
I
don't think we've come across each other too many times. I used to frequent Bath a few times just to, make sure Benders was playing well, give him tips, off the pitch of, how to perform. But no, I haven't had any really loose nights with Stephen. I wasn't allowed to get into the clubs. The Bath guys got in. I just stayed, kept my distance.
Second bridge.
Second bridge is what a place. What a place.
What a place. What a place.
Yeah.
The only club I could think of, actually.
Yeah, that's Ollie Barkley's favourite nightclub.
Still DJs there.
He loves to go there, yeah. There's all kinds of dark corners and things going on in different cubby holes. It was a phenomenal place.
Do you miss your days in Bath, Beaver? Do you look back on those fondly?
It's funny, from a footy point of view, certainly no. It was a tough time from a footy point of view, but we're talking about Bendy. There's a crew of great lads. I missed the lifestyle. I enjoyed the UK lifestyle. Probably too much, some would say. I do. Bath's a wonderful city. Love living there. But yeah, we were. It was a tough time with the footy. No hiding from that.
Mike Ford enjoyed his time down there as well, off the pitch.
I don't know. When I was there, it was very straight up and down. So I don't know what you're alluding to.
No, I think he just likes yoga.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, he just loved yoga. Sorry, he just enjoyed yoga. Obviously, we're going to actually touch on the Bath days and, you know, club rugby in a bit. But obviously, let's start with internationals because the World Cup is here. And for a man whose career is often just remembered for one kick, I mean, you're slightly hard done by. Over 25 caps for the All Blacks, made your debut against England in Eden Park, one of the greatest, you know, rugby stadiums in the world, in 2008. Now, what are your recollections of that day? We always ask the international guest. Any initiation which followed, and how was your sort of performance on and off the pitch?
Well, on the pitch, it was very much job was done. The boys had done the job, and I came on for a nice token 10 or 15 minutes, which for a debut, you're happy with that. I sat the weekend before at Wellington, and anyone that knows Wellington, if Eden Park's a great place to make your debut on a nice balmy night, Wellington is not. It was coming in sideways. We had hand warmers in the jackets, and the coaches said, "We're not putting you out there for your debut." So had to wait another week. But yeah, England at Eden Park was pretty cool. As I say, job was done. I just went for a run around for 10 or 15 minutes. It was the end of a little block. So we got to enjoy the night. And I think the main memory of that night is being in my first, for some reason, a few of the boys had organised us a stretch limo. And obviously there's about four or five of us debutants in the new season, and we were all excited, so we certainly put our hand up for we'll be a part of this. And I remember pulling up to this nightclub in Auckland, which was quite famous at the time, and we pulled up, and obviously a lot of people thought, oh geez, who's about to roll out of here? And then us four or five debutants rolled out, and a lot of disappointment from the onlookers. So that was something that stuck out from the night out after the debut.
That's interesting. It's very, very similar. What you're describing there, Beavis, is sort of how I operate in the city. I come in for the last sort of 10, 15 minutes of the deal, just make sure everything's all good. And, you know, all the hard work sort of been done by the sort of minions that own my team. I come in, I seal the deal with a handshake, and then I get in the stretch limo and I head over with the client to the bar, and we go and have a few drinks, you know, wine and dime. I deliver some great chat to him or her, because girls do business as well.
They do.
There's a couple of girls in my office that do business. Mm. Not that well, I'll be honest with you. They could learn a lot from me. But yeah, then we get a stretch limo, go to the bar and seal it off. The only difference is, I guess, that when I get out of stretch limo, you know, most people in the city, they know it's me. And they get excited. There's a little smile. They think he's here. It's okay. The economy's still going to be okay. Yeah. He's doing the business.
Stephen, when you play for New Zealand, obviously one thing then, well, famous for being the best team ever, but also famous for doing the hacker. Now, I know Archie tried to bring one into the Clapham Falcons, a sort of posh hacker, and I'm not sure how that went down, but what was the sort of weird sort of moments of being involved in a hacker? Who was leading it? Did it ever get angry? Were there ever like bust-ups? Who wanted to lead it? Who wanted to be the face of it?
No, for a young fella coming into the All Blacks, obviously you've been doing it since you're a kid watching it on TV. But then the rally of having to do it live at a test match, you're just hiding at the back because the idea is that you're away from the television cameras. And if there's any out of time aspect to your performance, it won't get shown. So certainly for young battlers like ourselves, we race to the back of the haka to try and hide from it, from any heat. And obviously, if anyone saw us in the opposition doing it, they'd just have laughed anyway. So it was best to hide deep in that back row.
Well, yours was quite a weird sort of mix of Morris dancing and...
To be fair, I wasn't trying to get the hacker into my rugby team.
Oh, right,
it was actually in the office.
Oh, was that in the office?
I was trying to get everyone G'd up in the morning to hit the phones. But it was combination. It just didn't work. Because I actually never learned the hacker. I sort of just made it up on the spot.
Right.
Stuck my tongue out a few times. And then it obviously got pulled in front of HR. And that was it.
That's an HR issue.
I just thought it would G up everyone in the morning. We get in at 9:30. People are just faffing about on their laptops. They said, right, this is it. I'm just, you know, we need to get on the phones. We need to melt those phones. And so I just decided, I roped in a couple of other sort of rugby boys in the office and said, let's do this. And they said, what are we doing? I said, just follow my lead. lasted about 10 minutes. And I think then it started to go on too long. A 10-minute hack is too much.
That is too much. Yeah. So you,
that's a long hack.
Yeah.
You copped a lot of flack for that. Talking about copying flack, copying criticism, whatever way you want to sort of cut it, let me take you back, if you allow me, Beaver, to 2010. We're in Hong Kong.
Yes.
One of your favourite places to do business. But yeah, we're not talking business here. We're talking Bledisloe Cup against the Aussies. You come on for what is arguably the biggest nightmare in your career. And you had an incredible career, but that was just a nightmare 20 minutes. James O'Connor, friend of the show, sadly, came on a couple of weeks ago, ruins your night when you can't get the ball out. You miss a conversion to win it, and then you're still leading. James O'Connor breaks your heart in the dying seconds, scores a try. Why didn't you kick the ball out, firstly? And secondly...
Great question.
Yeah.
Great question.
Well done, Freddie, for bringing this up.
No, but secondly, and actually getting a bit serious here.
Wow. I'm going to start reliving some of your shockers.
Oh, no, please
life.
Don't. But secondly, did anything compare to sort of how brutal the post-match criticism was? Because I say that nowadays, you know, we're actually very good at sort of bringing up online trolls, protecting players, mental health is something which is spoken about. But back then it was still like, nah, be macho, mate, just fucking laugh it off. But actually it must have been pretty painful. And what were the weird things and horrible things people were saying to you?
Yeah, it was pretty relentless. I'm glad I made James O'Connor's night. He almost ended my career with his kick. But I could probably blame myself for my own kick. Defending my own career, but it was a tough time afterwards. Once we got back, it was, first of all, you're into your off season, so usually enjoy summer, get out and about, and enjoy a good month off. But every time you went out, you got abuse waiting for cabs in the early hours. You'd get abuse waiting in line. You'd get abuse. So sort of laid off going, sort of getting in public really. And then as the season wore on, Super Rugby started back up, and in my mind I was like, oh well, just go and play good in Super, you'll get picked again, sweet as. And as it wore on, every time you went away from our base in Hamilton, there was just relentless abuse around the different stadiums. I remember we played in Dunedin maybe second round, third round of Super Rugby, and that was at Carisbrook, Prevey Indoor Stadium, and they just had a huge embankment of the students, and they just absolutely were there early because there was a concert before the game, so there was thousands there early, and they just had chants and they'd organised for me. There's one thing that always sticks out that I remember is Hamilton's quite a small place, quite a regional sort of town, so we'd always fly out, have connecting flights, but one of these airports where you still had to pay your $5 departure tax, even if you're just flying internally in New Zealand. So we'd be going away to games. And then there was a rugby magazine that put out a, you know, obviously their monthly edition. And during the Super Rugby, my face was on the front of it. And underneath it, big headline was The Weakest Link. And it was right underneath where you'd have to go pay your $5 for departure tax of Hamilton. And it's like the news agency obviously didn't follow the rugby because they knew we were coming every week to leave Hamilton to jump on our planes. It's like, geez, you could just shift that edition somewhere else in the shop. I can't really avoid this. But just stuff like that was just carrying on, and you just couldn't avoid it. As much as you tried. So she was pretty relentless. And, you know, in the end, I just turned into a bit of a hermit that year and just sort of went to trainings, went home pretty much, just to try and stay as much out of harm's way as you could. But, she was certainly a brutal sort of 10 or 11 months after Hong Kong. But, I mean, realistically, I mean, as hard as all of that was, there was nothing harder than what I was thinking or putting on myself, you know. Like, there wouldn't have been a night go by that 10 or 11 months where I wouldn't be laying in bed thinking, shit, if only I'd done Hong Kong just one thing a bit differently, you know. As you say, kick the bloody thing out, kick the ball between the posts for the conversion, who knows, one of them. But, yeah, it was a fairly bleak old time that year. And then finding out that wasn't going to be picked in the World Cup squad was obviously, I mean, it was the killer blow because I'd always been, mentally, I was always trying to think to myself, no, you'll be fine. You'll somehow sneak in, you know, because there was obviously Dan Carter, and then there was just a whole, you know, there's probably two or three guys that all thought they probably had a chance, and no one, none of us were setting the house on fire, and I'd been there the most out of anyone the previous 4 years. So I thought, oh, yeah, I'll be as good a chance as any. But then the dreaded phone call came from the boss, and the reality was there was no chance.
Great. Well, that's nice of you to make Stephen, you know, relive that moment.
Well, look, let's be honest. He's not the only person who's left Hong Kong with anxiety, is he?
No. You know. I mean, for me, like all of what Stephen's saying there is character building.
Yeah.
You know? It reminds me when my dad divorced my mum and I had to go and live with him, and he just abused, just mentally abused me all the time, saying,
chance as well or not?
Nightmare because we've had you. It's made it all more complicated. And that went on for 12 months. And then I went to boarding school. And actually, then I sort of realised it was all okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it's fine. Character building. Okay. Like all that kind of stuff. I welcome it. You know, now with my big following in Clapham, of the odd occasion I'll get someone coming up to me and just abusing me. And, I almost say thank you. I said, thank you very much for your abuse. I said, that's another bit of armour on here.
Well, Beaver, you obviously just mentioned that you found out from your head coach that you're not going to be in the team. You probably just rebel against the sport then. You go, fuck it, I've got no interest in watching this World Cup. I hope, Dan Carter breaks his leg. I mean, do you go like that? When Archie doesn't get picked for something, he goes angry and goes, I don't want my team to win anymore. Did you have the same sort of reaction or not at all?
No, not as far as wishing awful on anyone, but I certainly didn't watch anything. I didn't watch any of the footy. It was tough because I'd actually tried to go to Bath as soon as the NPC had finished our domestic competition. I'd said, oh, I just want to get out of here. I don't want to be in the country because New Zealand's a small country. Mm. And when a World Cup's here, you literally cannot breathe or turn one direction without it being rammed in your face. I mean, it was all during the year. You knew there was a World Cup happening. And so I was saying to myself, I can't be here knowing that, if I'd done a few things differently and Hong Kong, I'd have been playing a part of it. So I tried pretty hard to get straight on the plane to Bath. Wasn't allowed, and because of how our contracts work here. So I just hung around in New Zealand trying to do everything that I was going to miss. I went fishing a lot. I went, socialising a lot and not really looking after oneself for the best part of 6 or 7 months. But, yeah, I didn't watch any of the footy. Had a whole lot of tickets to go because bought a whole lot of tickets the year before in the ballot and thought, oh, well, I'll buy a whole lot of All Black tickets and then I won't have to buy them for, on the day sort of thing, give them to a family because I'll be playing, blah, blah, blah. So a lot of friends and family did well out of me on the ticket front because I didn't want them. So I was just giving them, I should have sold them actually, but gave them away. So no, had no interest in it whatsoever, I guess. I mean, obviously interest, but couldn't bring myself to watch it. But as I say, you couldn't move in New Zealand during that time. Like a couple of times I tried to go hide in smaller places where I had, friends and family or what have you, but all of a sudden you walk into a restaurant or walk into a dairy there, a bakery, and some team there. I ran into the Irish there and then I was in Taupo and I ran into South Africa there. So, you couldn't avoid it even in the small parts of New Zealand.
Sounds like Clapham when the internationals are on.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. I think there's a lot of similarities between New Zealand and Clapham. Commercial break.
Falcons out in Clapham getting pissed across the common. Two Falcons out in Clapham chirping cheekers till they're all gone. This is the way that we play in the Clapham common days. We lash, we laugh, we party hard, we last until the rays. But there's one thing that's missing, and it leads to the kissing. And it ain't just his tash, but he ain't got the stash. Even if he got cash, he ain't getting gashed, no matter the lash. Cause only one thing that she wants to dash, that samurai's dash. And I need samurai.
Make me high, make me golden, make me brown. Clap and Falcons run this town, they rule this town, they know their ways. Come on baby, it's all the same. Will you fuck me if I dash and put on Clap and Falcons stash?
Yes.
Well, guys and ladies, you heard it there first. You will get the opposite sex to fall in love with you. All you have to do is go and click on the link in the podcast notes and get hold of our limited edition Clapham Falcon stash, the best looking samurai stash in the world. You're welcome.
All that I've got is you.
Been to Inferno's? Have you been to that nightclub?
Now you're pushing me. Where are you into that?
It's an elite nightclub with carpet and fingering is allowed. It's almost a prerequisite. It's a wonderful place. It's got a unique smell. I'm sure if we could send you a smell in a can, it would take you back to a wonderful venue. But it does get quite loose after New Zealand do the Autumn Internationals, because I once went to Harrods actually to interview Richie McCaw, and Israel Dagg was there.
Really? Daggy?
He was.
They're doing a TV show together.
He's very loose, that guy. I actually remember walking away from that whole.
Ed Harrods?
Yeah, he was. He almost looked like. I gave me a look in my eyes that I can only describe that I thought, no, I don't want to be around you. You scare me. Not many people have done that.
Well, Beaver, you know, you're getting loose fishing and you probably drunk too much. You put on a bit of timber. The chassis up, Nick. Everything seems to be going wrong. And then suddenly you get back home and you've got like 9 missed calls from the New Zealand head coach being like, where the fuck are you? Before you know it, you're en route to New Zealand's camp for the semis and your whole life has turned around. You're begging for one more injury.
I'm begging to go back in time to think, geez, it would have been nice to have gone for a couple of runs. And maybe you've been eating just a little bit healthier. My main memory of getting into camp is, like, obviously the All Blacks spreads and that, not any team would have great spreads, but just like it's nice and it's healthy. And I just remember getting in there and just thinking, geez, this is a real change of life for me. The quality of food that I'm looking at, like I'd been living off steak and cheese pies and barbecue sausages for the last 7 weeks. And now I'm in this beautiful hotel with this beautiful banquet every 3 times a day. And I just feel healthier just looking at the food. It was just a remarkable turnaround in my life. And funny enough, we have about every Thursday in the All Black environment, they have what they call club rooms, which is just a little half an hour hit where, you know, bring a bit of chip and dip out and a few beers and a few raffles and stuff like that. And for some reason, there's a couple of internal fines and nothing major. And they said, oh, yeah, you got to do a beer, got to do a beer. And for some reason, I was the one nominated to do it. And I remember Ali giving it to me, Ali Williams, and he was running the show. I said, mate, like, this is the last thing I need right now is another beer. Like, there's a reason I'm sitting over on waters. I'm trying to make up for lost time here, mate. But, we just went along with it. But, but a few things like that stuck out of my mind that when I got into camp, the last 6 or 7 weeks had not really prepared me too well for the place that I was now sitting in.
Well, semi-finals we get through without having to come off the bench. Still get your match fee. Everyone's pretty happy. And your family and friends can use those tickets finally. But then the World Cup final does come along. The game's in the balance. Second half, suddenly Aaron Cruden injured. Off he goes. And you're thinking, fuck me, I'm going on in a World Cup final with the game in the balance. Jesus Christ. So take us through your memories of when you get on that pitch, how brutal it was seeing as that you've been on the beers all summer. And also just that feeling of slotting that incredible, incredible, well, I say incredible, it was routine for you, but it was incredible to win the World Cup.
Yeah, well, as far as being on the field, like I've never, like outside of that sort of time period of my life, I was usually one of the first in the team and would, you know, the Chiefs would win the fitness testing and stuff like that, but I was in horrific shape at that World Cup final. And I remember distinctively a couple of times, because I don't know if you guys remember the game itself, but we just had to defend. We defended for about 30, 35 minutes straight, and the ball just seemed to never go off the field or never have a stoppage. And I remember twice lying on the bottom of the ruck, and I'd lost my decent mouth guard, so I was running this real cheap mouth guard, and I'd choke on it anyway. And I just remember at one stage, phlegm coming up and through the mouth guard when I was lying on the bottom of the rucks after making a tackle. And just thinking, what is going on here? How have you prepared yourself for this? And it was like 6 weeks of socialising was starting to come up in that hell of a half hour that we had to defend for. So physically I was in pieces, and I probably couldn't have gone another minute. But as I say, the goal kick itself, it was one that needed to go over. It was one that should go over. But I guess at the time didn't think it was going to be that important. You know, it was just a goal kick out in front to knock over. And I guess, you know, on a serious note, with everything that had gone on the previous sort of 10, 11 months, and you crave that moment more than anything. And it was, during that time, you never thought you were going to get that opportunity. So it was quite easy to dial in. I mean, people often ask you, were you thinking of this? Were you thinking of that? But, you know, like I can literally remember that I was just thinking, watch the ball follow through, which is what I do on every single kick, and you roll the dice and hopefully it works out for you.
I would be thinking, well, if I get this and we win, think about all the cheekers, think about all the money, all the sponsorship. I'd be thinking, here we bloody go. I'm off to retire.
Yeah,
see you later. I won't even need to chat to girls.
No.
They'll just be coming over to you. Are you Stephen Donald? Yes, I am.
The Beaver.
Yeah. And then you can just think about slotting it, you know, as you normally do. That's what I'd be thinking anyway.
Is that why they call you the Beaver? Because you got so many girls off the back of it, Stephen?
No. I've unfortunately had that nickname since I was like five. So any accusations of that sort of behaviour would be very premature. No, very much just based on the fact that I was a very ugly child with two front teeth and not much else for a long period of time. They haven't turned into much of an adult either, but that was the basis of the nickname Beaver, which I just haven't been out of shape.
When you win a home World Cup and you become, well, you basically go from zero to hero and you go like, fuck, you walk around being like, fuck you, coaching staff, you should have picked me, I'm a genius. Fuck you, Dan Carter, you're so boring, this is unbelievable. And then what do you think? Do you go like, how are we going to celebrate?
I think he'd call Dan Carter DC.
DC, sorry, yeah. DC. Yeah, that's fuck
what,
you, DC.
That's what his friends
call
him.
That's what the boys call him.
Yeah, DC.
Who's the best value on the piss in that AB's team? Who was the loosest?
Probably your Andrew Hawes and your Tony Woodcocks. Just an ability to just front up and just keep going.
Are they props, aren't they?
One's a hooker, one's
thing
a
is that those guys do because they know they're not going to be able to snog any birds. They know they haven't. You know, they don't need to keep themselves in any kind of shape to chat to anyone. That's the thing with the props in our team. They drink the most, but they've got nothing. They're just drinking for the sake of drinking. I can't just get two beers. I want to snog. I want to be active. You know, I want to have extracurricular activities after the night out.
That's why we're in the lime and sodas.
Yeah, that's why about 10 o'clock comes, I hit the lime and sodas, to keep myself sober. So, you know, nothing bad goes. The problem is I just can't seem to convert them coming back to mine. Even though I say, look, I've got chicken and we can watch Living with the Lions. They're like, I'm not interested.
Beaver, you are suddenly one of the most famous faces around the world, as we were saying. What were the weirdest endorsement deals you got off the back of that?
Getting the movie was pretty bizarre.
Yes.
That was...
They made a movie about you called The Kick.
Yeah, that was pretty weird. We never thought it was going to happen, so we agreed. Like, I was up in Bath, and I remember I was at the training base when the phone call came through from a manager back here, and he said, oh, look, there's chat about this movie. Do you just want to say yes, because it's probably not going to happen? I was like, yes, sweetie, just say yes, whatever. And then about 3 or 4 months later, hey, yeah, look, that movie's happening now. You need to do this for it, that for it, this for it. And I was like, oh, how did we get ourselves in this? And just, I guess, once it started to unfold and then the thought of, oh, it's going to be on air tomorrow night or what have you, I was just like, oh. But, you know, hey, it was what it was in the end.
Beaver, you're now obviously living a very comfortable life, radio shows, TV shows, commentary, film, the whole bloody thing. Do you ever think, what would I be doing if I hadn't got that penalty?
There's certainly a lot of things that have flowed on that I am not silly enough to realise they would certainly have been nowhere near what I've been doing had that kick not happened, had not been called back into the All Blacks. So, no, I guess, yeah, the life that I live now is purely down to the fact that all happened. What I'd be doing if I that hadn't happened, mate, I could still be living in Bath, probably without a contract. Still living in Bath nonetheless. I don't know if Hong Kong, the chat of Hong Kong would have died down by now, and if I could have come back into the shores of New Zealand and lived comfortably back there yet. So, no, I dare say I would have been possibly floating around overseas somewhere. Who knows?
You might be doing like a Jimmy Gopperth and still playing in like Division 5 in France.
Great kicking tees.
Great kicking tees.
Great kicking tees.
Good guy. Loved him.
Lovely. Did he use a Jimmy G kicking tee?
When we were young, the tee that he's got now is what we all used. And they went out of stock. You couldn't get a hold of them. And then I moved on to this other tee, which I was never really happy with, but it's the one I did for most of my career. But then I ran into Jimmy, Jimmy messaged me a while back and said, I found them again, because we used to chat about them. And he found them, and they were called the Simpkin tee. And he obviously got left the mould from George, who passed away. And mate, they're a great tee. Great tee.
He gives me a discount, Jimmy. I'd say Steven's up there, my favourite key we've had in the podcast, then Jimmy, and then Charles Pietau. But I don't think Charles knew what was going on at all.
No.
He was a bit lost what's going on this podcast.
He was. And we want to get Ricky Pluti on, don't
we? He wanted to tell us about his NFTs.
Yes, he did. Yeah, and we didn't let him.
We wouldn't let him.
Well, talking about living in Exodus, obviously after Bath, you head to Japan. Now, we've had Burns, we've had a lot of people who've been out there. They said there's nothing like the size of the guys' bushes out there, and there's nothing like how loose those Japanese boys get on the piss. Can you tell us a story which kind of brings both together?
I don't know if I can bring anything that brings it both together, but the Japanese boys, like, it brings it all back, you know, like they try their guts out for the game and all the rest of it, but it would be very similar to the Clapham boys, I'd imagine, once that full-time whistle hits. We didn't win. Okay, this is what we're doing now. And they just go, we've got this place booked. Like a night out with them is very different. It's, we've booked a restaurant, and so a restaurant could be anything, but literally you go to these places, they've got a Nomi Hordai, which is an all-you-can-drink menu. So you might pay, well, for you guys, it'd be even less. It'd be like about 10 quid. You'd get about 3 hours on it, and you just go as hard as you can. Bit of food would come out, and then the boys would clap hands at the end of it, and most of them would be struggling to stand because not the biggest individuals, and they've just gone hell for leather. They'll go home. If they're still standing, they'll take you to the next stop, which is essentially, we'd be looking for a nightclub now. They're looking for a karaoke bar. So you go find a karaoke bar, you just park out there, and again, you just carry on festivities. They will end up sleeping in the karaoke bar with you. And then you're trying to work out, what do you do here? But no, it's a different way of life up there. But I mean, as people, as a rugby player, it just doesn't get better.
It's like doing an internship in the city, but getting paid lots of money. That's the best way to put it. You know, it's a lot of fun. The results aren't really put on your back, and you can just, you know, you can just go for it.
Sounds fantastic. Yeah. I think it would suit your style as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's very. I mean, the way the Japanese, I do a lot of business with Japanese. That's, you know, that's my style. I'm loosey goosey.
Yeah.
When it comes to business, I'm not a kind of guy in a way in the business world that would do a lot of kicks. You know, I'm a guy with a ball in hand. I'll make things happen. I don't want to get tackled by someone like Manu Tuilagi. Shift it across.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I'm happy to have ball in hand as long as I'm not getting touched, and I'm happy to do a crossfield kick from time to time. But you know, that's it.
We're talking about doing business over there. So they're always taking away on camps. They love a camp. So you'll go to these far-flung places of Japan, middle of nowhere. Oh, we're just going to have a training camp here. It's like, oh, okay, great. And in these training camps, you might be there 10 days. They will have a designated team booze up probably 3 times. And it's everyone. So it's the all the players, all the management, all the guys that sit Kontokus who sit on top of the program, who don't really know much about rugby, but their job is just oversee the rugby program. Every now and again, the big cheese from the actual company, the head of the company will come. And the great thing, talking about doing business and getting loosey on it, is you can go full noise that night, and their culture is just, that's fine. nothing to be talked about in the morning. Because I remember my very first go at it with them on a summer camp, got up there, and I saw like the third string physio absolutely incapable of standing, giving the owner of the company an earful. And I'm just thinking, oh no, that poor bugger hasn't got a job tomorrow. And I was talking to one of the Japanese boys who we could interact with language-wise. And he's like, no, it's fine. Japanese culture, no problem. We're on the booze, no problem. So, I mean, there's much to be said about that sort of culture.
That's brilliant. You know, we have similar culture in the Clapham Falcons and actually with the top echelon of my office. Like, if we go on the piss and there's a couple of guys there, they're married. If they cheat on their wives, it's, you know, don't worry about it. It's a little wink in the morning and we don't say anything about it, you know? Well, and that's a real bond. My CEO, he's decent. You know, there's a couple of times he goes to some late night bars and in the morning he just come in and... He stayed in the hotel that
Mum's
night.
The
little wink, and I just know, right, let's crack on, guys. We've got to get these results in for Q3.
Let's do a hacker.
Yeah.
Dan Carter.
No, chat. There's chat there. Don't worry about that.
Richie McCaw.
Chat.
Corey Jane.
Oh, yeah, chat.
Jerome Kano?
Yes, chat.
Sam Whitelock?
Chat.
Brad Thorne?
Oh, outstanding chat.
Sonny Bill Williams?
Does he need it?
No.
No chat, though. Aaron Smith?
No chat needed. Chat. Well, I never got to play with Aaron Smith, but chat.
Ollie Barkley?
Do I need an answer?
Carl Ferns?
Well, I tell you what, you don't mess with Fernsey. I've been in some court sessions with Fernsey. Don't mess with him.
Matt Banahan.
No chat.
No chat. God. We got no chat in the end.
Oh, actually, no. I'll take it back. I wish he didn't have chat.
Yes.
You know, Banner says chat, but I wish he didn't have chat.
New Scotland women's head coach. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I saw
power of the podcast.
That certainly won't be a six-figure salary. I'll tell you that right now.
Stephen, you've been absolutely wonderful,
mate.
We'll see you
out
in France. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Boonies, guys.
What an absolute hero. Well done, Mr. Beaver. You were awesome.
Yeah. H-E-R-O. Hero.
Archie, just a quick one, mate. Last couple of times I've seen you since we got back, you're wearing full samurai stash. I thought that was just a thing in France.
I love stash.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favourite things. And the Clapham Falcon samurai stash, which you can get if you click in the bio, is great. It just fits well. If you're in good shape like me, it's the perfect top. Love working out with it. I love running in it. I love just going to the supermarket in it. I actually wrote an email to the CEO saying they should really consider going to suits because I'd wear a samurai suit.
Would you?
I would. You know, I think there's an opportunity, a business opportunity there, just to have like a suit made of sort of sports material, which allows you to be a bit more limber in the office. You know, if you're managing two or three phones, having a breathable suit would be handy. Because what you don't realize, there's a lot of athleticism that goes on in the office. The more athletic you are, I think... the more successful you are. And that's why, evidently that's why I've been so successful.
Okay. Well, Archie, obviously talking about samurai, talking about sport, England are back out in Nice this weekend. Lots writing in saying, surprised not to see Archie out in Saint-Tropez, 10 minutes from Nice. Are you not tempted to go out and watch them play against the Japanese?
Never say never, Clarence. I mean, it is the World Cup and it is Saint-Tropez. And you know, I absolutely love going out to Saint-Tropez. It is so money.
Well, talking about so money, obviously Foxy was showing off his money clip to you the other day. Where was your money clip out in France?
I didn't bring it out with me, which is a real error. But I mean, the problem was, I don't think samurai do money clips. And, you know, I was contractually obliged to wear samurai stuff. So everything I had on me was samurai. Samurai phone case, samurai bag, samurai shorts, samurai top. I mean,
samurai briefs, everything.
Yeah. So next time I go out to France, I'll bring my money clip.
We're mentioning samurai there, guys. Please click on the link in the bio and get hold of the most incredible stash collaboration which has ever taken place in the history of the world. Clapham Falcons X Samurai. Click on the link there and get all the wonderful goodies they have to bestow upon you. Archie, just before we finish off, talking about Foxy, talking about Samurai, you are only a couple of weeks away from your epic bike ride. Marlow to Paris. How the fuck are you going to do it? 300 miles plus.
Yeah, it's a challenge, Clodis. But if there's one thing in life I love, it's a challenge.
Sure.
Whether it's a CrossFit competition, the opposite sex in Infernos, a Ruggers match, a business deal, or in this case, a very long bike ride. But it's all in aid of an amazing charity. My name's Doddy Foundation, trying to find a cure for MND. That is a disease that's impacted so many people's lives.
Well, let's just remind the listeners, the thousands of listeners, how they can all get involved. Because let's just think about it. If they all gave £1, you're going to be up 20 grand immediately.
But I should say, Clodis, that a lot of people have donated already. And I'm very, very grateful. You can click in the link in the bio.
Yep.
And you can donate £1, £2, £5, £10. Obviously, the more, the better. I have said in the past that if you donate £500, then I will find a day after the World Cup to come and spend a day with you. So if you want me to come to your rugby club, mm-hmm. or you want to come play a game of golf for me, or you want to go for lunch, or you want me to come to your office, whatever it is, I will come and give up my time. Obviously, two people already have donated £500,
wow.
which is incredible. So please do not forget to, I know I've been banging on about it, but it's really important. We do this podcast for free. We absolutely love it. And we can't thank you enough for your support. If you can dig down deep in your pocket and find something to donate, I'd be very much appreciative.
Well, Archie, hope...
What a serious way to finish this podcast.
That was quite serious, but we've been giving a lot of light-hearted bands over the last week or so, so it's time to get serious. Please, guys, click on the link in the bio. It takes 1 minute to do, and you will be saving thousands of potential future lives. So, Archie, I can't wait for the weekend. I can't wait to see this England team go from strength to strength. Can we bring it home? You were singing It's Coming Home the whole way down the Marseille port the other day.
Yeah,
after
yeah.
the victory. Is it coming?
I truly believe I went over there and did a job. You know, I went over and oversaw England's turnaround. A lot of the players have thanked me for being there. It's coming home, baby.
It's coming home.
I'm leaving on the next plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you know I'll never go. Even though you know I will, I'm a traveling man. Moving through places, space and time. Got a lot of things I got to do. God willing, I'm coming back to you. Baby boo, I'm a traveling man. Moving through places, space and time. Got a lot of things I got to do. God willing, I'm coming back to you. Baby boo, I'm leaving. Go ahead and leave the call. Heard around the world from the wise of MCs. These cats are paying more than half a pound. I'm going back, I snatch it down. I got to stay, but we can probably run the back of town. Scenarios like this is tear jerkers for the modern MC. I eat a blue collar worker cause this thing called rhyming no different from coal mining. We both on assignment to unearth the diamond. When you start climbing and them eyes start shining, you be struggling and striving and they think you prime timing. Maintain and keep silent, make no an observation. It's confrontation, this is the daily operation. My concentration, stay focused on my recitation. About to reach my destination with no pause or hesitation. Baby, make the preparation cause this ain't no recreation. This is pro ball and we letting you know y'all. Show y'all, doing this for dough, y'all. Get the phone call, and I'm ready to blow, y'all. About to go, y'all. Been a pleasure to know y'all. Know, y'all. And I'm letting you know I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know if I'll be back again. Kiss me and smile.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Say big to Menards and keep cool in the summer heat with a new window air conditioner from Denali Air. Quickly and efficiently cool your spaces with auto and eco modes to maximize performance and save on energy costs. Featuring three fan cooling speeds and a remote control, allowing you to cool your space from anywhere in the room. Save big money on Denali Air. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money.